Hey, what happened with the football game? Do you know? You got web. Yeah? Oh, damn. It's still the 26th of August, in the year of our Lord and Savior, the Trumpet Fuhrer, 2017, here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. Recording the third episode of the day. And the CSU Rams did, in fact, win the football game, the first football game in the new stadium. The score is 58-27, CSU Rams over the Beavers. Oh, over the Beavers. Ah, the mature humor. Beavers. Oh. You can scream and shout with all your might. Now you can scream, shout, whine, cry, sniffle, piss, moan, look for a fucking safe space. This ain't it. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. You can shove your opinions up your ass. That way the Trump and Fuhrer's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget, my friends, Trump's Twitter trumps tranny twit tricks. Yes. Yes, it does. I am the great one himself. I am the founder of Cynical Libertarian Society. Founded in 1999. Podcasting in 12 motherfucking years. And this, my friends, is Stating the Obvious podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect. Comes in on and destroys motherfucking statists all around the world. There are statists all over the place. Left-wing statist, right-wing statist, homo statist, GLBTKKK statist. Are you finished firing the 50 caliber machine gun? Thank you. Got cyber statist. What other kind of statist are there? Doc, there's so many. There's femistatist. And then, of course, there's the anarcho-sissies, the anarcho-feminist, and my all-time favorite, the anarcho-communist, who are so goddamn dumb that they don't understand that you can't have anarchy and communism at the same fucking time, because communism requires a government to take things away from people and to own everything collectively, and anarchy, of course, requires that there is no fucking government. But then again, it's just a bunch of liberal Democrats. Well, I don't want to call myself. Let's see. First, we were communist. Then we were socialist. Then we were liberals. Then we were progressives. Now we're going to call ourselves ANCOMs. I'm an anarcho-communist. I'm anti-faggot. I mean anti-fa. I mean anti-fascist. No, you're just a goddamn communist. All right, anyway, we're not talking about that shit today. We... By we, I mean I, the great one himself, the founder, who can be found on the Twitterverse at CYNLIBSOC and on the interwebs at CYNLIBSOC.com. And you can email me at God, dog spelled backwards, God at CYNLIBSOC.com. Duh. I, the great one himself, have already forgotten what I was saying. In the control room is the lovely and adorable Randy. We are here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, behind enemy lines, in Hillary Clinton space, where everybody's a liberal Democrat and everybody assumes that you're a liberal Democrat. 26th of August, year of our Lord and Savior, Trump and Fuhrer, 2017. Going to continue with the stories from my last 2 weeks of fucking hell and high water and excitement. Anyhow, let me just tag a little bit on to where I left off, talking about the chick and her not texting me and all that stuff. Look, gals, people, when I say you're not texting me back, I just want to be clear on this. You've been here for a while. You've heard this. Unlike Obama, when I say I want to be clear, I mean I want to be clear. I don't mean I'm going to lie to you. I don't expect anybody, man or woman, to text me back immediately. When I send you a text message and you take a day or two or three to get back, that's fine. But when it's 18 months and I haven't heard back from you, and you want to tell me that you enjoyed spending time with me, and you didn't real, you know, no, honey. Anyhow, I'll let you know how that ends up. Talking about girls, let's just get all the girls off the list. What other girl stories do I have? Okay, so then at the outdoor festival, I didn't spend a lot of time hitting on chicks this year. I didn't have time. It was fairly busy-ish. And I spent a fair amount of time at the bar that was nearby having a drink. A drink. I did have one drink at a time, so I guess we could call that a drink. That's the great part, when you can work a festival and you get paid money to drink beer. Of course, at the rate I was drinking, I think I was drinking more by the hour than I was getting paid by the hour. I think I actually took a loss. I should do a analysis of all that, because I think that is indeed what happened. At the outdoor music festival, I met this babe. Holy shit, dude. I mean, she had everything exactly where I like it. Legs, butt, breast, nose, hair, face. Oh my God, she is adorable. It was right near the end of the thing, and I chatted with her for like about 15 minutes and everything, and she's like, yeah, I'm going over with my friend, we're going to do this, blah, blah, blah. And oh my God, I was just like totally in love. And by in love, I mean in lust. Because again, we are men. See, we can be honest. We don't have to fucking use Orwellian code phrases. Right? I really wanted to shoot cum into her orifices. That's what was happening here. Oh my God. I was just... My brain was shutting down. My heart was exploding. It was... Long story short, she's like, well, I'm from out of state. I'm like, God damn it. Like, yeah, I hardly ever come to Colorado. I'm like, God damn it. Oh, fucking Christ. I was so pissed off. And you know, who knows? She may have been lying. But at least she didn't be like, yeah, here's my phone number. Text me and we'll get together and then fucking ignore me. God damn it, I was so pissed off. This chick was awesome. Anyhow, speaking of awesome chicks, I think this is the final chick story. I'm looking at my notes. Oh, then I'll tell you guys this story. That's hilarious. Final chick story. So I met this other girl. I saw her both days of the festival. Ah, just adorable. The cutest thing you ever saw in your life. And just like funny and easygoing and just fucking adorable. And I'm not good at guessing people's ages, but I think she was probably about 10, 11, 12 at the oldest. And it's just one of those moments in life where it's where I'm sitting there going, you know, goddamn, I kind of wish I'd have had kids. Because this little girl was just the sweetest thing. And I hung out, the first day I hung out with her for about 10 minutes because she was over in this section where I was working. And then the next day I saw her again in a different tent when I was running around doing shit. We hung out for like 20 minutes. And she was just the most fun. And we're chatting and doing stuff and she's giving me shit and I'm giving her shit. And... we're standing there the second day and we're giving each other shit and everything and ragging on each other. And she said something that alluded to the fact that this woman who was nearby was her mother. And I said, oh, and I turned to her and said, oh, is she your daughter? And the woman looks at me and she kind of startles and she's like, yes, what did she do? Like, no, she's great. She's adorable. I said, I'm going to steal her and take her home with me if you're not careful. And the mother kind of looked relieved. I think she'd have been like, oh, okay, that'd be fantastic. And the little girl says, she puts her hands on her hips and she kind of cocks her head to the side and she says, well, if I was your kid, you would have to do what I say. Like, whoa. Why? And then we started giving each other shit about who was going to rule the household if she came home with me. Anyhow, just the fucking cutest little thing you ever saw in your life. Oh my god, she was adorable. Which will now lead me into a rant, which you've heard before, but I don't care. Because it needs to be heard over and over and over as we go forward into the future. And we have people such as John Bringer, or however you pronounce his last name. John, I still don't know how to pronounce your last name. If you're listening to this, I'm not trying to insult you by not knowing how to pronounce your last name. I just don't know fucking how to pronounce it. The man who wrote the book, Datanomics, which I referenced in the previous podcast because of the Twitter, Because there's all these women out there who can't find men who are good enough for them. And there's all these women, like the book I started reading. I talked about it a couple episodes, right? What the fuck was it called? I don't remember. The chick who wrote the book about how she waited till she was 37 to try to get pregnant and she couldn't get pregnant. Oh, fuck, what was it called? The Big Lie. All you women out there who you can't have the kids because you're too old and you can't find a good man and all this other stuff. This is because you believed the bullshit. You bought the lies. They, whoever the fuck they are, they came to you and they said that that which is fulfilling in life is to get a job, to have a career, to focus on your career and your education and to make money and all this other horse shit. And you, being dumb and gullible and stupid, threw away your 20s on going to college and pursuing a career. And then you hit 35 and you go, I have no children, I have no man. And suddenly you're sitting going, why isn't a good man magically appearing for me? And then John comes along and writes a book about how men are all broken because we don't want to marry these 35-year-old women who have spent their entire lives focusing on their career. Adult lives, not their entire lives. You women had the opportunity to find a man who would go to work and bring the money home and take care of you and support you and buy the house and pay the bills, and you had the opportunity to stay home, have children, and spend time with your children. You chose to give that up. You chose. The patriarchy did not force you to go to college, to take out student loans, to get a worthless diploma, and then work as a barista until you're 35 years old. The patriarchy did not do that to you, you stupid fucking cunt. The patriarchy did not destroy your life with lies about how you would find your fulfillment by sitting in a fucking cubicle working for a corporation that doesn't give a shit whether you live or die. The patriarchy did not do that to you. The patriarchy said unto you, shut your fucking mouth, get in the kitchen and make me a pie and raise my children. You chose to give up spending your time with your children. I'm hanging out with this adorable little girl, having the most fun I have had with a human who is a female probably in the last 10 fucking years. The conversation with her was more intelligent than most of the women I've dated. I'm not just saying this to fucking insult women. I'm saying it because it's true. I had more fun in 20 minutes hanging out with a 10-year-old girl than I've had going on dates with fucking grown women. And you dumb broads, you could spend your entire day with your children, with little girls just like this, interacting with them. And I get it, man. The novelty wears off. I get it. And yes, I get it. Parenting is a responsibility. I get it. It's like, I'm just hanging out with this kid at a festival. I'm getting the best of what there is there, right? I didn't deal with having to change the diapers and when she had colic and all this other stuff. Okay, I understand. I am not enduring everything a parent must endure in that 20 minutes that I was spending with her. I get that. But there's good and bad that comes with everything. And this little girl was just adorable. And I'm thinking to myself, holy shit. Like, if I could be a stay-at-home father and have a daughter like this and just spend my time with my daughter and you're teaching her stuff and you're interacting, and yeah, there's some bad times. But what a great thing. And you dumb fucking broads out there, you just want your fucking career because you think men give a shit about your career. And then you're 30 fucking 7 years old like this stupid bitch who wrote The Big Lie and you can't get pregnant. Or you're 35 or 40 years old like all these stupid bitches in the book Datanomics that John wrote, which, as I said, he didn't put a single picture of any of these women. I guarantee you they're all ugly. They're all fat. You're this ugly, fat 40-year-old woman and you're whining to this guy who's writing a book about how you can't find any good men. I have no sympathy for you. None. None. Every woman out there has the opportunity to spend her life with her children. All you have to do is find a quote-unquote good man. And yes, I acknowledge there's not that many of them. But it's also, look at the women around you. You don't got a lot of competition. The tattoos and the piercings and the fucking freaky haircuts and the whoring and the single mothers. You ain't got a lot. If you make the choice between spending your fucking 20s in a goddamn cubicle or spending your 20s raising your children, and you want a good man who's going to provide for you to raise those children, you ain't got a lot of competition, honey. And that is why Audacity needs a fucking cough button so that you don't have to listen to me choking to death on the podcast. All right. I think I beat that to death. Kind of the way I'd like to beat feminists to death. Ooh! Speaking of feminists, speaking of men who are women, there's this guy I know, and he may as well be a woman. I'm compiling it. I have the notes floating around somewhere. I'm compiling an entire, I don't know, it might be a blog post, it might be a podcast, I don't know, an entire checklist just based on him about how, even if you have a penis, you might actually be a woman. Because this guy is more of a woman than his wife is. I said, tell you this story. He calls me up and says, yeah, I can't meet up with you yet. All right, why, what's going on? Well, I got it because he owns his own business. I got to do my taxes. Oh, okay. I mean, you can work on that tonight. No, my taxes. It's his, what do you call that? Sales tax. My taxes are due at 4 o'clock today. And I'm looking at, it's like 1 o'clock. I'm like, are you serious? Your taxes, first of all, it's one thing to know that your taxes are due, say, on whatever, you know, April the 15th. Or your sales tax, whatever, it's due on the first of the month or whatever. But to actually know the time of day, to actually be such a fucking procrastinator. It's like, yeah, it's 1 p.m. My taxes are due at 4. I'm working on them. You really put this off until 3 hours before your taxes are due. And that's how this guy lives his entire life. The motherfucker has never been on time. The rare occasions, I was about to say he's never been on time, that would be a lie. The rare occasions that he shows up for anything on time, the rest of us like look at him and look at each other and look at our clocks and be like, are you here? Yeah, because it is so rare that he can do anything on time. My taxes are due at 4 p.m. How do you even know that? Christ. All right. Oh, one more last little bit of girl stuff. I tried some Eclipse game. I thought of Eclipse text messaging game, to be specific. I thought of this as the eclipse was happening. And I sent it out. And I'll tell you right now, the success rate on this was zero. So perhaps it's not that good. And plus, there's not an eclipse coming up anytime in the near future that I'm aware of. So you won't be able to reuse it. But what I sent out to a number of chicks who had not responded to text messages in a while, I sent out something to the effect of, I said something like, I'm trying to bring this into my tiny little brain, "Hey, you haven't texted me back in a while, and now a dragon is eating the sun. We're all going to die, and it's your fault." And yeah, I just kicked that out to basically, again, to chicks whose numbers I have, but I've already written off because they've failed the 3 text limit. See, every once in a while I go over the 3 text limit with something like that just to see what happens. And as I said, the result was absolute big fucking giant goose egg zero. So it did not work worth a shit. But who knows? I mean, you should try this. Next time there's something, like there's a hurricane, it's like, "Oh, look, there's a hurricane." You know, like, text the chick and say, "Hey, you stood me up last week and now there's a hurricane. Looks like we're all going to die and it's your fault." I don't know. I'm just throwing this out. Try it. Let me know what happens. No, I still have not attempted to meet any girls utilizing Aaron Clary's book, Curse of the High IQ, as a prop. I just haven't had time. I had some time off this week, but I've spent it all catching up on doing personal shit because I have 2 fucking weeks worth of personal emails and fucking my own business to run. And then, yeah, I'm not going to lie. There was a little bit of fucking off in there. Did a little bit of bike running. Bike running. What the fuck is bike running? Bike riding. Haven't done any running yet. Might do that tomorrow morning. Have not been to the gym yet. Totally regretting that. Gotta get my ass to the gym. Okay. Oh, and then one final little eclipse note. Well, there'll be a couple of eclipse stories. Eclipse story number one. Where we were working the day of the eclipse. I was working the day of the eclipse, but we went out and watched it anyway because I brought my glasses. And as soon as the eclipse was over, oh my God, the fucking traffic. Because we were right next to the interstate. You could see the interstate from where we were at. When the eclipse was over, it was like an hour later, the fucking interstate was a goddamn traffic fucking jam. Other eclipse story is this other chick whom I'm not friends with this person. I just know this person because she's somebody we work for sometimes. She's a billionaire and she has her own fucking airplane. And she cares about the environment. That's the important part. I love these people who care about the environment. She drives an electric car and all this. She just virtue signals like a motherfucker. She flew her private jet airplane to go watch the eclipse and then flew back. And I'm thinking, oh, that was good for the environment. You know, you fly your fucking jet to watch an eclipse, then you go get in your electric car. Ah, the virtue signaling. Oh, I didn't tell you guys the story I said I was going to tell you. Okay. And then, let me just do this real quick, get this off the list. I have this piece of paper with all this stuff written on it in absolutely no coherent order. It's just the order I thought of it. For my microphone, for recording the podcast, I have a spiderweb shock mount. that the microphone mounts into. And the elastic that goes around it was getting worn out. It actually is past getting, it was worn out. It was trashed. It was hanging low, kind of like my ball sack. And I'm on the Amazon of the .com, and I'm trying to find replacement elastic or, you know, O-ring, whatever the hell you call it. That's part of the problem. I don't even know what the fuck to call this. So I'm trying to find something to replace it with. I'm not having a lot of luck because I don't know what the fuck it's called. So I thought, all right, well, let's just try the fucking Google. So I type some shit into Google. And I get a link to a YouTube video. And I watch the video, and the guy's like, yeah, here's how you fix this for less than a dollar. And I'm like, oh, really? And he explains it, and I'm like, God damn it, why didn't I think of that? That's brilliant. When the elastic, the O-ring, the whatever the fuck you call it, on your spiderweb shock mount starts to die, which will be pretty quick, the replacement is motherfucking hair ties. Which, I have long hair, so I'm like, I have a whole drawer full of hair ties. The little elastic hair ties. And I said, that's not going to work, is it? And I ripped the fucking shit off of the spiderweb mount. And I got the hair ties. They are fucking perfect. They are absolutely perfect. My microphone right now is being held up by hair ties. It's great, and they're cheap. When they sag, it's like women. When they start to sag, you just replace them with another one because they're all interchangeable. Hair ties. There it is, guys. Write that one down if you're a podcaster, because that changed my world right there. I had been trying to figure out how I was going to fix the fucking sagging spiderweb shock mount. I had been working on it for over 6 months trying to find a replacement. Figure out what the fuck they're called, find them, where I could buy them, whatever. Alright, the story I need to tell you. Here we go. So we're working this gig. And there's the guy who does the gig each year, and he's there. And as I mentioned before, one of the people who works with my company is a homosexual. And we will call the homosexual who works for my company, we will call him Adam. This other person, we will call him Bob. So Bob works for a different company, but he's at the festival every year. So the first time Adam saw Bob, Adam was like, holy shit, man, Bob is really beautiful. This is the word he used. He said, this guy's beautiful. I'm like, really? Okay. I mean, I'll take your word for it. This is all subjective. I'm not arguing with you, but okay. And then Adam interacted with Bob for about 5 minutes and come back and says, that guy's a fucking douche. I'm like, yes, he is. Bob got married about 8th month? 9/11? About 10 or 11 months ago, Bob got married. Now, the thing about Bob is that I'm pretty sure everybody knows that Bob is gay except for Bob. Bob married a woman. I haven't seen this woman. I'd like to see this woman because I'd be fascinated to see what sort of woman would marry him. Because everybody knows that Bob is gay except Bob. Adam knew that Bob was gay. Adam had no problem picking up on that. Adam is gay. Adam knows homosexual men when he sees them because Adam's a homosexual man. We all know Bob is gay. Bob doesn't know this. Bob married a woman. We're at the festival. Bob comes up to me and he says, hey, I'm not telling everybody this, but my wife left me. And I'm sitting there going, thinking to myself, Well, you don't say. And on top of that, that's the... So he's like, yeah, about a month ago, she disappeared for 2 weeks, and I had no idea where she was. I'm like, really? And he's like, then she came back while I was gone, and she took all of her stuff. I came back to my house, and all of her stuff was gone. And I'm just like, oh my God. So warning number one, I mean, there's multiple lessons from this. Number one, if you're a homosexual man, stop denying that you're homosexual, because if you marry a woman, she's going to figure out you're homosexual. And on top of that, when she figures out you're homosexual, she's just going to vanish on you. I mean, who knows what's coming via certified mail from some lawyer? Who knows how much of his money she is now going to be entitled to? I know you guys all think, when I get married, that's not going to happen. Yeah, divorce happens to other people. It doesn't happen to me. Yeah, but I mentioned about how I've gone to this, hung out with this group of men who is 90% men who are getting divorce raped. And every one of them has this shell-shocked look because, well, it wasn't going to happen to me. Other men get divorced and get divorce raped by their ex-wives, but not me. My wife, she's going to stick with me forever. Oh, yeah, we're in it together, yeah. Whew. It was funny, but it was not funny. It's funny that he still doesn't know he's gay, and it's funny that he married a woman, and it's funny that she left him. It's not funny that he doesn't know he's gay. It's not funny that he married a woman who subsequently left him and who is subsequently probably going to get 50% of everything he owns. Because he is a douchebag, but at the same time, I don't necessarily want to see him financially suffer. I mean, he's a douchebag, but I don't hate him. It's like, guys, a little selectivity when you get married, okay? Just think this shit through a little bit. Especially if you're homosexual. Stop denying you're homosexual. Don't marry a woman, for I don't know why he did this. Just don't do it. Speaking of gay men. Oh my God, all right. South Park, I'm pretty sure, is a documentary. Because once again, South Park has called it right. Okay. We're doing this other event. And it's organized, it's put on by some group. I don't know if it's a company or a nonprofit or whatever. I don't know. Because this is the kind of shit I don't need to know when I'm doing an event, right? I'm doing an event, I'm doing the lighting. Like, where do you want me to point the fucking light? I don't need to know the fucking history of your organization. I don't need to know the name of your organization. I don't need to know your name. I'm just here to do the fucking lighting and run the event, right? So I keep my brain clear of things I don't need to know, because this was the 96-hour fucking work week, and I was exhausted, and I was ready to fucking beat the shit out of people, and I did not have time for unnecessary information. So I don't know. But we're doing this event for this organization of whatever type it is. And of course, it's for the children. It's a fundraiser because we're raising money for the children's and all this fucking horse shit. God, I fucking hate these people with every ounce of my existence. Typically, these things are, of course, filled with women. Run by women, the organization, it's all a bunch of goddamn women, virtue signaling. Well, this one, the group of people who were putting on the organization were all men. As I found out later, They were all men who knew each other because they were in a fraternity together at college. I don't know what college. Again, I don't give a shit. But before I knew this, so I'm looking at all of these men. They're all dressed the same. They have their little shirt on with their logo on it. They all have khaki pants. They're all, and this makes sense now with them being in a fraternity and knowing each other, I'm looking at them and I'm going, every one of these guys is like late 20s, early 30s. Every one of these guys is between, say, 27 and 33. Every one of them has a buzz cut, except for a couple of them that were bald. And every one of them very obviously lifts weights. And they're walking around talking about caring about the children and shit. And the whole time, all I could see in my mind was South Park. PC principal and his fraternity, where it's all these dude bro frat boys are going around going, dude, I'm more PC than you are. No, man, I'm more PC than you. Dude, bro, do you even lift? I'm so PC. And it was absolutely hilarious. I'm looking at these guys and all I see is South Park. Like, oh my God, do you guys even lift? It was the most hideous thing. And they were so dude bro douche. They were such frat boys. Like, after they're like spiking things and doing like little end zone dances and shit. I'm just like, oh my God. And then I'm like, wait a minute, they're paying me. I'm getting money for this. This is great. Just as long as you're paying me, I won't kill you. But under any other circumstances, if I had to witness this, I would not be able to control myself from fucking putting my hands around your neck and strangling you. Of course, they outnumbered me and they all lift weights, so they probably would have kicked my ass. But that would have been an ass whipping I would have had to take. I'm telling you, man, exactly like South Park. We're working on planning another event. Let me tell you guys about this. All right, so remember I did the podcast where I talked about the event center that they wanted all of this extensive shit. And then they showed up and they said, yo, we have $5,000 for our budget. And I had to try not to laugh. And we're like, no, we can't do anything for $5,000. Okay. So this place, they're still doing their grand opening. And they're figuring all this out. And they came back to us and like, well, okay, we can get a little more money. Like, okay, we could do a little, you know, we're figuring this out. Here's our budget. Here's what we can do. And they say unto us, well, we're going to get our in-house technical people to do a bunch of the stuff that we can't afford to pay you. I'm like, okay, I mean, sure. And things roll forward. A couple of days ago, we go over and we meet with their in-house technical people. And the in-house technical people say unto us, well, yeah, so we're going to do this. We got a video screen here and a video screen there. And I'm going to put a camera here and a camera there. And we're going to shoot this stuff. And that's all I know. And we're like, okay. And so we heard you were doing the stuff for the event center. And they're like, yeah, what I agreed with them, the guy who's in charge of their AV department there, which is actually a separate company. It's kind of weird. So their in-house technical group is a separate company from their company. So he says, well, yeah, what I agreed with on them is that I would charge them for labor, but I'll throw everything else in for free, like equipment and all of that stuff. I'll just charge them for our hours. We're like, great. Well, we have the list here of all the things you're supposed to be doing, and this is everything you're doing. And we show him the list and go down it. And when we get to the end, he's kind of sitting there staring blankly at the piece of paper with his mouth hanging open and drool running down his chin. And he says, I can't fucking do all this. I have no ability to do any of these things. I don't have half of this gear. We don't have the man hours. And we're like, okay. And he says, well, the event center told me that if I needed to rent any equipment to do this, just to bill them, so here's what we're going to do. can you guys do all of this? And we said, well, yeah, we could do all of this, but we're not getting paid for it. But if we got paid for it, yeah. He says, great. I'm subcontracting to you to do all of this. Send your bill to the event center. And we're just like, all right. So the event center didn't hire us because they couldn't afford us. The event center said their in-house technical people would do it for them. The in-house technical people said, we can't do that, subcontracted it to us, and then we're going to bill the event center for it, even though the event center couldn't hire us to do it because they couldn't afford us. And that's my life right there. That is what I do. God damn it. And so once again, I'm sitting here thinking, oh, this job will be easy because they can't fucking pay us for hardly anything. This will be nice and fucking cushy. And now suddenly we're doing 3 times as much work as I expected, yet we're getting paid for it. Oh, we're going to make a shit ton of money that the event center claims they don't have, but they're going to get the fucking bill. Oh my God. It is hilarious. That is my world. What else do I got on my fucking world here? I talked about working 60... Actually, I wrote down 65 hours and 96 hours. 64 hours, 65, whatever. I don't know. I told you guys the Bitcoin billionaire wanted to stop by while I was working. And I was like, dude, I'm doing capitalism. I don't have time for that. I mentioned that in a previous episode. Hey, I'm actually getting through the list here. Randy, I'm getting through the list. Should I tangent so that we can't finish this, or what should I do? Because this is not normal. Yep, no Bitcoin billionaire. At the Outdoor Music Festival, they came up with this genius idea this year that they were going to put up shade covers. Basically, they put not like a tent, but they put up towers, and then they strung... Between the towers, they strung giant pieces of fabric to create shade. They did all that fucking work, and the day before the festival, the wind comes through and fucking shreds them. And thus, they had to go back and do all of that again. That was brilliant. I was very thankful that I was not involved in that part. They also had this moment where they said, it's 6 p.m. No, we are not recording another episode after this. I gotta go get work. And then my mother, this has nothing to do with, my mother sent me a care package, so I haven't really looked in it yet, but I'm sure there'll be lots of articles in there. You guys know my mother is a left-wing statist like a motherfucker. She loves sending me stuff about how evil Donald Trump is, so I'll get lots of good podcasting material for out of that package. But in the package, sent me the DVD for the movie Alien Covenant. Now, as you know, Alien is one of the greatest movies that has ever been made. And, as you know, it is excruciatingly likely that Alien Covenant is a giant piece of shit. And, as you know, Ridley Scott is a fantastic director. I saw something on the YouTube. I think it was... It's a channel or a series or whatever. It's called Honest Trailers. And I saw they did the one for Alien Covenant, so I watched it. And in the voiceover, you know, it says, "This is what happens when you give a fantastic director a really bad script." And based on Prometheus, which was exactly the same thing. Prometheus, fantastic director. Ridley Scott, fucking genius. The script for that movie, fucking terrible. That one, the chick, when she is hot. Other than that, man, I mean, visually, just Ridley Scott is the fucking master at directing. I don't even have words. But God, Prometheus sucked so bad. It's the Prometheus school of running away from things. Some of you will get that joke, some of you will not. So I'm having this inclination, this desire to just say, fuck it, put things on. Oh, God, I got to bill those people. Randy, don't let me forget. I got a bill. No. Yes, them. I need to bill them. Don't let me forget that. Write it down on your list. It's already on my list, but that fucking means nothing. Because if I did the shit on my list... Look. If I did the shit on my list wouldn't be 3 fucking pages long. God damn it. I have so much to do. Two weeks of not being home is fucking killing me. And then I'm going to have another 2 weeks of not being home after this coming week. So I'm going to have to get ahead of them on the podcast again because I'm about to get slaughtered. We have 2 more gigs coming up. I got a week we're going to be in Fort Collins, and I got 2 weeks where I'm going to be out of town in 2 different fucking cities. 1 gig in another city, and then 1 gig in another city. Whew. I have an inclination to blow off all of my responsibilities for the rest of the night after we're done here, and just sit down and watch Alien Covenant. Even though I know it's going to suck because the plot is going to be a giant piece of shit. How do you know that, great one? Oh, I just know. I'm sure that visually it's going to be a fucking masterpiece. Because Ridley Scott. So anyhow, I might go do that. How did I get on Alien Covenant from where I was at? I have no idea. After the 96-hour work week was almost over... It's the last day. Was it Eclipse Day? No, the last day was Eclipse Day. That was the final day. It was Sunday before that. Things were wrapping up and everything like that. And I was, at this point, pretty much ready to kill people and to get away from everyone. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to take off. I'm going to go get some lunch. I went over to this nearby place where I like to eat. Got my food. Was sitting there. An entire hour went by. My cell phone did not go off once. It's like, oh my God. So fantastic. For 2 weeks, my cell phone was going off constantly, doing the festival and then doing the other gig. It was like, there's always a problem. There's always somebody needs something. This isn't... Oh, it was just so wonderful to not have the cell phone go off for an entire fucking hour. We also have this, so speaking of getting work, speaking of subcontracting, once again, welcome to my world. So the second gig we did this past week, that one, we were not in charge. We were subcontracted out, another company was in charge. And when it was all said and done, the people who hired us, the dude bro frat boys from South Park, kind of looked at what we did, and looked at what the company who they paid money to run the event and subsequently subcontracted to us did. And they looked at that and they kind of said, yeah, the other company, we'll call it ABC Company. ABC Company didn't really do anything, did they? And we're like, I'm like, well, I mean, they did a couple of things, but no, it was mostly us. And they said, well, but did ABC do anything that you guys couldn't do? I said, well, yeah, I mean, ABC did fuck things up, and we couldn't fuck things up quite the way they fucked things up. But other than that, no, pretty much everything ABC did, we could have done as well. So fortunately, or unfortunately, depending on how you look at this, next year, we might be doing the same event again, which means another fucking 2 weeks of hell for me, because ABC Company might get fired because they didn't really fucking do anything. And that's capitalism. That's how capitalism works, right? When you're just costing money, but you're not giving any value to the person who's paying the money, you end up getting fired. Kind of like Donald Trump fires people, because that's how that happens. Kind of like Enron goes out of business, right? Because that's how that happens. When you do some fucking capitalism, when you show up, when you create value for other people, when you do fucking amazing shit, when you go above and beyond, and you charge a shit ton of money for it, because you don't fuck for free. The great one does not believe in fucking for free. Every time someone says, well, can you do this? All of them say, yes, we can do that. There's going to be additional cost. Oh, that's okay. Good. And then when the thing's over, we send them a bill for all the additional cost. And believe you me, I've had some people shit themselves when they saw that bill. But it's like, oh, no, no, no. The great one does not fuck for free. Oh, you want 13 extra, you want extra lights hung up there? Oh, you want an extra piece of truss? Oh, you want me to go buy? Oh, you want, yeah, I can do all that shit. You're going to pay for it. Welcome to capitalism, goddammit. This ain't a fucking charity. So, we might be doing that again next year. I'm not sure if I'm happy about that or not. Did that. Talking about fucking things up. At the fucking music festival. People are out there sitting up the goddamn tents. The tent company shows up to set up the tents. They set up the tents in the places where they think the tent is supposed to go, according to the semi-detailed drawings they have. And then the people running the festival show up and go, oh, the tent's in the wrong place. And I'm thinking, well, could you have maybe had somebody here to tell the tent company where you wanted the tent? Because now the tent has to be fucking moved. Moving the tent is not necessarily... We're not talking about little camping tents. We're talking about giant fucking tents. I'm talking about tents that are fucking 20 feet on one side and 40 feet on the other side. I'm talking about tents that are fucking staked down and held in place with fucking 55-gallon drums full of water. Okay, moving this tent is not easy. Do you think, instead of fucking around and just goofing off all day, that you could actually run your fucking music festival, the one that you run? Do you think you could show up and fucking tell the tent people, where to put the tents? Oh boy, the anger that was generated when I mentioned that perhaps they should fucking manage their festival instead of fucking off in the air-conditioned building. Go out in the fucking heat, do your job. But then, of course, it's run almost exclusively by women. And as we know, women can't return text messages. That is not a matter of opinion. It's a fact. And I do not bother with the other side.